Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome to episode 150 of the show that one guy said on YouTube was bad. It's Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
Comics.
And now it's time for the audience participation portion of the show. Everybody, think of your own witty intro for the episode. Ready? Go! Awesome!
That was great.
Good job. Very funny. Oh. Good job. Yeah. Welcome to comics.
So weird, man. You're so weird.
I know. I want to thank our sponsor, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today.
All I got was alpacas. How weird is that?
Hey, everybody's a geek for something, but we'll circle back to that at the end of the episode. Mm. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today with great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs for everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just weird, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com and Gamefly. With membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages, Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want, and when you're done, just send it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one. Or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for your free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. We did it! 150 of these bastards!
So we're done, right?
Well,
this is it.
When we finish this one, it'll be 150.
Sure, we still gotta get through this one. Alright, Darren, what you got?
Well, let's see. This goes in the square hole.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Everything goes in the square hole.
Parents, this month's first time review features a book with sexually explicit content. For some reason, people get more upset about that rather than violence, so if you don't want your kids to hear about such stuff as mommy-daddy things, skip ahead about 5 minutes or so for the grade.
Okay.
Mommy-daddy things,
mommy,
huh?
Mommy-daddy things.
Consenting adult things?
Consenting things?
Do I need to text my mommy and daddy and see if I can listen to this?
It wouldn't hurt. But while you do that, if you are looking for just the verdict on this book, you can skip it. All right.
Wait, I can skip the verdict? doesn't make any sense, Darren.
Yeah, well, just stick with me.
Much like the next 3 to 4 minutes, we can skip it.
All right, so Here we go.
I'm just going to sit here and plug my ears and la la la.
Okay, now that that's out of the way, let me regale you gentlemen with the first image and sentence of today's comic. A brunette in a modified space jumpsuit, like what they wear under spacesuits, mm-hmm. You know, with the front zipped all the way open. Her cleavage visible, lounging in a seductive pose, looks over her glasses and says, "I want you to fuck me, you sexy fish man."
I've seen this movie.
No, you haven't. So begins today's comic entitled Money Shot.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this movie.
It's about a team of scientists who realize that government funding is drying up, but people will somehow still be willing to pay for porn in today's age of the internet. As they seek out stranger and stranger fetishes and finding new life, new civilizations, and stupping them.
Ron Jeremy was in it. I've seen this movie.
So it's apparently the mission statement that I just read. After they found that the usual porn didn't do it for them, but a video involving an old guy wearing a tutu and someone in a dinosaur outfit with a massive strap-on managed to do the trick. Justin's laughter reached a note so high it was inaudible for a second.
Huh.
Yeah. So let me tell you about the cast. Physicist Dr. Christine Ocampo and her crew. They developed not only a camera drone capable of streaming their exploits back to Earth in high def, but also the technology necessary to teleport themselves across the cosmos. It's called the Starshot. But once they hatched the Let's Make Porn plot, it got renamed to the Money Shot for obvious reasons.
Of course.
Of course, yes.
What are those?
People will pay to see this.
Oh.
Yeah. Other cast members include Dr. Bree Wander, a physicist who is kind of into Ocampo, but also hates her for some reason. So
I really dig soft cheese.
Yeah. There's Dr. Annie Leong.
I got it.
Annie Leong, an epidemiologist who managed to come up with a way to bang aliens without ending up with extraterrestrial warts.
So an ETSTD.
Yes. Dr. Omar Steinberg, an astrophysicist who used to date Ocampo and is into manga, and the whole situation is awkward. And Dr. Doug Koch, spelled K-O-C-H, but pronounced how I said it. He's a biochemist who latest experiment was try to make a version of kale that people wanted to eat. It failed, so this is the team he's on now. He's also into weightlifting, and when presented with the Let's Fuck Aliens proposal, demanded that his porn name be Supermassive Black Hole.
So he's a bottom.
Clearly. Anyway, a power bottom.
Anyway, back to our first panel.
Oh, God, we haven't gotten off the first panel yet.
So our team was taken hostage by a group of fishmen on the first planet they visited. They used the camera drone, called Little Shot, to good use, having a brief orgy and also setting up a trade. They'll give the fish guys, who live on a desert planet, bottled water in exchange for their services and safe passage. The first scene gets a 6.5 out of 10. The audience is just barely entertained.
Hmm.
So, of course, there's more to the story, but I kind of zoned out toward the end of the first issue. It's a fun idea. The art is all right. Yes, there is a lot of explicit stuff. There is a frog-looking Yogi who seems like he's meditating. Like at first, it looks like he's floating in air. He's like doing the cross-legged pose. No, he's actually resting on his giant scrotum. There's a lot of explicit stuff, like I said, but it didn't really grab me and hang on, if you know what I mean. So on my grading scale, this one gets a, yeah, sure, I'll call you later. I'm just busy doing laundry.
The clarity with which you were able to reach, I think I know how this book ended.
Yeah. It
yeah.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, that was what drew 150. That one. So welcome back. To the people who skipped ahead, it was fine. You know, it's not your fault. It happens to everyone.
All right. Chad.
Yeah?
You, palate cleanser?
Well, I was
Mint anything.
Well, I was doing some reading.
Good.
And reading some Birds of Prey type stuff. Yeah. And, I guess I got kind of a stupid question.
Oh, Chad, there are no stupid questions.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
So, Katana's sword, the Soul Eater,
mm-hmm.
Does it ever get so filled up that she can't swing it around anymore?
Japanese swordsmanship.
Yeah.
It involves folding multiple layers of steel.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah.
And so I think what you've got here is like a cow's stomach kind of thing where there's multiple layers.
Oh.
So there's like multiple soul holes.
There's multiple soul holes, yes. Yeah. I'm a little behind on my metallurgy. Let me get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Stick around for 150 episodes, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
Man, wait until he finds out how many questions I have.
We're here till 300, baby.
At least.
Anyway, has anybody read anything that wasn't explicit or...
Well...
So, I did actually read some of the Black Label Birds of Prey stuff. Well, Harley Quinn stuff.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Well, okay.
And I'm not going to go into a bunch of story stuff. It's like four issues long. What I do, what I will say is it makes me want to see the uncensored version of every single other Harley Quinn comic series.
Fair enough. Right. Yeah. I'm halfway through the Superior Spider-Man Omnibus. You can get it on Comixology Unlimited. Superior Spider-Man is a story that started off making me mad, but the more I read it, it's good. You know,
is that the one where Doc Ock has the body?
Has the body of Peter Parker, yeah. And, you know, it's, yeah, he's slowly becoming unhinged the further into the book you go because, you know, he erased Peter's memories because Peter was giving him a conscience, and that wasn't good. So,
how dare he?
So, you know, he's starting to become more and more unhinged. It's a good read. I've read the run before, but it's nice to revisit it. Also, I noticed while I was doing some comic perusing an ad, which may have already come to fruition by the time that this podcast reaches your ears, dear listener.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
So it has an ad for Amazing Spider-Man 25 and 26.
That's all that they've done after
No.
70 years of Spider-Man?
Sorry, Amazing Spider-Man, the reboot, number 25, 26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because...
the reboot, the sequel.
Yeah.
Now.
So, for backstory, before we get to the question I wanted to ask both of you gentlemen. Back when they relaunched the book, John Romita Jr. comes back to do the art, and it was supposed to be a new era of Spider-Man. Nick Spencer had just wrapped up, and I really liked Nick Spencer's run. Peter and Mary Jane were back in a relationship. It looks like we were going to get close to erasing one more day. In fact, Doctor Strange was brought in, and he knows something happened to Spider-Man. He knows that Mephisto did something. And then all of a sudden, we get this tonal shift. Spider-Man wakes up in a crater. Somewhere on the East Coast, outside of a major populated area. He screams.
Oh, like Raphael did in that one movie.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
6 months later is the very next panel of Amazing Spider-Man, the reboot number one. And that's it. We don't get any details other than that Mary Jane hates him now, absolutely hates his guts, going from being by his side to just never wanting to speak to him again. Most people, in fact, who happen to know that Spider-Man is Peter Parker, absolutely hate him. The only person who doesn't, besides Black Cat, is Norman Osborn. Norman Osborn is making Peter's tech for him and making his suits for him. And in the book, Peter has gotten to the point where he is so dependent on Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin, mind you, so dependent on him that he can't win a fight without Osborn's tech. So, keeping all that in mind, in the first issue, we find out that Mary Jane not only has a husband named Paul, who has the personality of very, very fine sandpaper, as in, he doesn't rub off on anyone. They also have two children. It's only been 6 months, but these kids are at least 6 years old. Fast forward to now. Marvel says, we're finally going to get to the truth of what happened all that time ago that we haven't told you, but we keep telling you, we promise it's worth it. Like someone who says, I promise, baby, I'll change. And so my question to you, because they say this is going to be the most heartbreaking and shocking moment in the past 50 years, evoking the death of Gwen Stacy. My question to you, gentlemen, wrong answers only, of course. What did Peter do?
Oh, picked a peck of pickled peppers.
God damn it, Chad. Damn it. There are so many things you could have said, and that was the thing. I wasn't expecting it at all. I don't know how to react. Justin?
Well, I'm going to take a more scientific approach to this.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, you know that some spiders cannibalize their mates. The Black Widow spider, for instance, will eat its
sure.
mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't always seem to be the case. The exception is a spider called the Red Widow, where the male force feeds himself into the female by placing himself into the female's mandibles, begging to be eaten. So, maybe Peter let the spider brain take over. I mean, he does wear a lot of red. Maybe he was trying to mm-hmm. have Mary Jane eat the carrot.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right, Chad, rebuttal?
Well, it's another eating thing. Sorry. It's going to be a feeding thing. We find out that he is actually the Peter of pumpkin eating fame. Because if you'll remember, the next line of that had a wife but couldn't keep her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so ultimately, this is what we're going to find out, that this really is a fairy tale that Peter's living in. Unfortunately, he's that guy. I mean, I've got other answers here that don't involve eating.
My theory is that Peter finally got around to watching Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. And he saw the scene where Goku did the spirit bomb thing. And so he tried to do it, but unfortunately wiped out a nursing home.
Yeah. He just routinely started recording their favorite shows 5 minutes after the show started.
Oh. Hmm. Turns out his last name isn't Parker, it's Cottontail.
Signed Joe Quesada to write his memoirs.
Yes. Yeah, that'll do it.
Okay. Because it happens in the real world.
That one physically hurt me. So I'm done. I don't.
Here, this one's funnier.
Okay, all right.
Well,
no.
It's not funny, but it's innocent.
Okay.
He puts the toilet paper roll on the wrong. It ended the marriage.
Freaking monster.
I mean.
Monster.
It's no wonder that he's screaming epithets.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm fine with that being the answer. Because like that seems like the worst thing. That's the only reason everyone would hate him. Clearly.
I mean, everyone.
Everyone. Except Norman Osborn, who obviously is
a backwards toilet paper roller.
Yeah, he puts the toilet paper roll on wrong.
Yeah, he's obviously. Okay, cool. Thank you, guys. I hope that those of you who are listening and know what the answer is, that we were right or at least close. And if we were wrong, just keep it to yourself.
Oh, I think Justin's probably nailed it.
Yeah.
It's probably Red Widow thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably.
He dressed up as Paul once. Not the Beetle, the other guy.
Yeah, no, I
the
know.
The sandpaper guy.
Yeah.
The tent maker from the...
Sure.
From the Bible?
Yeah, that one.
Man, how does he even know?
Loose estimation. It's called cosplay.
Okay. Okay, right. I got it. I know you said we're moving on, but okay. I got it.
All right, I mean, it's your segment. Do what you want.
Peter suggested to Mary Jane that they start a folk trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Oh. And
Peter, Paul, and Mary!
And Mary Jane didn't like that, but they already brought in Paul.
Peter, Paul, and Mary!
Puff. The magic dragon.
Oh. I can't even. I can't even look at you right now.
You know, I don't understand. I find Paul quite appealing.
He is the cute beetle, so I don't know what the. Anyway, anything else?
I don't know how you follow that.
Oh, I know. Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
So, as I said last month, I'm going through a variety of weird...
Some things.
Yeah, I'm going through some things. A variety of interesting storylines or single issues or whatever. And I wanted to pull out something special for the 150th.
Okay.
Ah! Oh! My Blazing Saddles fans will get it.
It's true. So this month, I'm going to talk about Marvel Apes.
Oh, God. I know this.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
No.
No, no, no.
No. Okay. All right.
Did you just say Marvel Apes?
Apes. A-P-E-S.
As in Marvel space apes.
Yes.
It's not Marvelopes or something.
No, it's Marvel, new word, apes, period.
Okay. Hit me. Not literally, you ass.
Theater of the mind, folks. Theater of the mind. So, the book starts with Martin Blank, the Gibbon.
Oh, yeah. I know about the Gibbon.
Former villain. His personal life is in shambles, and he attempts to side with the heroes and is often frustrated by his own ineptitude. Out of boredom and desperation, he replies to an ad posted in the Daily Bugle by Fiona Fitzhaw, a spunky and cheery young scientist hoping to study the nature of superpowered individuals. Upon hearing that the Gibbon has had his powers since birth, as opposed to the majority of mutants who develop theirs during puberty, Fiona analyzes his aura and hypothesizes that the Gibbon may come from another reality in the multiverse.
His aura?
Yeah.
Thought she was a scientist.
It's a Marvel universe. They can read so many things.
Trust me, you're going to want to hold on to that kind of thinking until later.
All right.
While attempting to contact such a reality, Fiona and the Gibbon are sucked into a portal that takes them to a world populated by intelligent simians.
So, like, remember Money Shot that I was mentioning earlier?
Think Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Except...
Yeah.
You know, more high tech.
Yep.
More
plain tea.
More planety.
Here we witness a fight between Speedball, Apex, Spider Monkey against Dr. Octopus.
Dr. Octopus.
Is that a typo?
I'm sorry. No, it's Otto Octavius, but he goes by Octopus.
Is that a typo?
It is not.
Damn it.
Gibbon steps in and helps apprehend the eight-limbed simian and is asked to accompany the heroes to Ape Venger's Tower.
Sure.
Fiona is sent to Reed Richards to help return them to Earth's 616. She discovers that in the Marvel Ape reality, the cosmic rays that gave the Fantastic Four their powers... unintentionally gave Sue Storm a human-like appearance. So that's why she's always invisible, because she's hideous now.
Hello, 1960s Twilight Zone.
Yeah. At first, Gibbon is excited to be a member of the Ape-Vengers, and even gets to talk to Captain America, who brings him into the inner circle. This turns to horror when it turns out that rather than sending Octavius, yes, I'm going to keep calling it by his real name, thank you, Octavius to prison, he is lynched by other superpowered apes.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, neither did Gibbon.
Yeah.
You'd think that it would be a deterrent.
Yeah. Well, this is so secretive, nobody else knows this. There's only a few people.
That's the problem. If you're going to execute someone, it needs to be public.
You tell people, and they'll show up, and then they'll know.
Televise it, like in that 1960s Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah.
The Obsolete Man.
Meanwhile...
With Burgess Meredith.
Meanwhile, Fiona and the ape, Mr. Fantastic, are able to recreate the gateway back to Earth 616. But just then, Ape Captain America busts in, attacks and kills Mr. Fantastic. It's then revealed that he is actually the simian counterpart of the vampire Baron Blood, who in reality is able to take on Captain America's appearance because he imbibed so much of the super soldier blood. Yes, vampires. Vampire apes.
Is Morbi Ape somewhere in there?
I don't know. They never got to it.
It's Morbin time.
The super soldier serum in Baron Blood gave him invulnerability to sunlight so he can go out in the day and be whoever. But, you know, in the 40s, he also turned the rest of the invaders into vampires as well. He became the leader of the Ape Vengers and used the bloody lynchings to feed the super villain vampires.
Wow.
Fiona and Gibbon escape and meet up with Speedball, who take them to a group of heroes called the Outcasts. They're aware of the vampire problem and are trying to figure it out. Gibbon realizes that if Blood had simply killed Captain America, a body would have been found leading to questions. Clearly the real Cap is still out there, searching the Arctic, because that's where you always look for your Capsicle.
That's the first place.
They find him and are attacked by Namor and the invaders. Cap is quickly thawed and the fight is on, revealing Baron Blood for who he really is. The non-vampire Ape Vengers and Outcast quickly overpower the bad guys. In the confusion, Fiona and Gibbon go back to Earth 616, and the portal is destroyed.
Okay.
Now, I want to take a moment and mention and appreciate some of the names in this book.
Oh, I already appreciate a few of them.
So there's Boomerangatang.
Yeah.
Version of Boomerang.
Sure.
Gorilla, who is Hank Pym.
Yeah.
Hawk Ape. Iron Mandrill.
That's better.
Yeah.
Juggermonk.
Okay, I like Juggermonk. Yeah.
Shang Chimp. Okay. As opposed to Shang Chi. Yeah. Spider Monkey. Mm. My personal favorite, Thorangatang.
Mm. See, we're getting less.
They're reaching on that one, yeah.
Yeah. No, this is where they're reaching. Black Widow Rangatang.
No. No.
Dare Gorilla, as opposed to Daredevil.
And Black Widow. Ooh, ooh.
Yeah. Loki, Looki, as opposed to Loki.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and Uktron, as opposed to Ultron.
Okay.
So there's everything you never wanted to know about Marvel Apes.
Notice that Wolverine didn't want to be caught dead in this book.
Oh, Wolverine was there, but his name was just Wolverine.
Yeah, he's like, I'm doing the cameo, brother, but I'm not.
Yeah, no, he's there. He has lines. He has claws. He's a little short, little stout monkey dude with claws.
Fair.
It
That's
was
fair
just
enough.
Wolverine.
Fair enough. You know,
they couldn't make that funny.
It was already funny.
So I want to thank our sponsors once again, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check us out on our other shows. You want me to watch what? The Week 3 Podcast, The Sporadic TLDR, and on YouTube, Geek K Plays and Retromantics. Look us up on social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Discord. Links to all of those can be found at geekcavepodcast.com. Say hi when you get there. Be sure to tell your friends about us, and, you know, we're on all your favorite podcast services. And now for your out-of-context comic panel. We see Wolverine standing in the midst of a kerfuffle. There's debris everywhere. His uniform is shredded. And he says, "Wow, you made Spider-Man sad. Congratulations. I stabbed the Hulk last week." For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin. And this has been the Wonderful World of Comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for somebody.